Advertising has long been connected with the culture and society at a particular moment, but there are times when efforts to get a message out in a relevant or trendy way just falls flat on its face.
Take a recent example, Kendall and Kylie Jenner. They're best known for appearing on the reality TV show Keeping Up with the Kardashians, modeling, and their Instagram accounts. But lately, the Jenner name is also associated with advertising and marketing campaigns gone wrong.
A few months ago, Kendall Jenner appeared in a Pepsi ad that critics said was an insult to the Black Lives Matter movement and made light of social and political tensions and protests. More recently, it's a lawsuit that both sisters are facing for t-shirts they recently released. The t-shirts featured the Jenner's faces superimposed over music icons like the late rappers Tupac and Notorious B.I.G. and bands like Pink Floyd, Metallica, and Ozzy Osbourne. Eric Thomas joins us now to share his take. He's a senior partner at Saga Marketing, frequently writes about marketing, branding, and diversity. Eric, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks a lot for having me.
Let's start with these t-shirts. That's the latest kerfluffle related to these reality TV stars and entrepreneurs. A lawsuit now, a photographer who said his photo of Tupac was used on a shirt being sold for $125 without his permission. But why is it so upsetting to fans to see their favorites, whether it's Pink Floyd or Tupac, on a Kardashian-related t-shirt?
I think there's a number of reasons. A, you earn icon status. It seems like the Kardashians and the Jenners, the Kardashian Jenners, or whatever exactly that household is called basically right now, they seem to be famous because they're famous. And so there's this running joke that they're not necessarily contributing to society. And as a marketing and brand strategist, I'm actually on their team, right? I understand what it means to build a brand and maintain that. Many people have been famous for the sake of being famous and disappeared. But what they are not are artists that have contributed to the cultural identity or the lexicon of America, like a Pink Floyd or like a Tupac Shakur. And to just take your face and then put it on top of it is the equivalent of taking your face and putting it on top of a religious icon. It doesn't sync up naturally.
One thing that's impressive is, I mean, when you say Pink Floyd, Metallica, Tupac, Notorious B.I.G., you're covering multiple genres and multiple generations of people. You're ticking off here. I mean, they really covered all their bases, didn't they?
Oh yeah, it was a strategic play to piss off as many people as humanly possible. Older people, younger people, Black people, white people, music lovers, you know, everybody. It seemed like a couple of young girls saying, oh, this is cool. What if that was me?
Now, as you say, the Jenners aren't the only people trying to build a brand. There are entrepreneurs out there listening. Everybody's trying to brand themselves in some way these days. Are there lessons? And we're not all going to, you know, slap our faces on a Pink Floyd t-shirt. But are there lessons here when we're trying to sell ourselves or our product in a culturally relevant way and not do something that just makes everybody angry?
I mean, the real strategy is, A, really talk to the estates or the families or the icons that you're trying to work with, right? I mean, you're not supposed to be juxtaposing yourself over culturally relevant people. People have built their brands over decades of hard work, and so they are the creators. Work with the creators to create things that are relevant to either their demographic, their core, or the culture that they represent. At the end of the day, great artists are culture creators. And so they know what to do to inspire their audience. Some of them even lose track of it. You know, as you see a star rise, you see a star fall. Even they lose touch with how to continue to stay relevant. So to just take it without even having a conversation with the fan base or the creator is almost disrespectful. And I think that's why you see that type of backlash.
Now, in this case, it was the Jenners themselves. Now, we also mentioned that Pepsi ad. Now, this featured one of the Jenners, Kendall. In this Pepsi ad, she leaves a photo shoot. There's a big protest. It's not clear what the protest is. And she saves the day, I think, by giving a police officer, of course, a Pepsi in the end. Now, this is not a couple young people coming up with a bad idea. This is Pepsi. They've done marketing for, you know, a little while now. What went wrong there?
So first of all, that ad was done in-house. So it was done in a silo. And so it seemed like, you know, those college brochures that just have people of different ethnicities sitting together. But when you go into a college, you very rarely see that. it seemed like they just took a series of different ethnic groups and caricatures of what they would possibly be doing in that moment, and then slid them together and said, hopefully people identify themselves here, without any context to, like, protests are, they tend to be pretty stressful, right? Because people are passionate about whatever they're protesting for. This seemed to almost trivialize whatever you would be protesting for. Because I don't think it was a Black Lives Matter protest, right? I think it was a general protest, whether you're looking at the Egyptian Spring, whether you're looking at the Women's March, it was a protest. And to some of the shots were literally just the protest in the background of two ladies giggling while drinking a Pepsi. I mean, it was the most trivial use of an emotionally excited moment, blatantly pushing a beverage. And that just, like, that doesn't vibe well with anyone, I don't think.
Now, when this came out, there was a huge online response. A lot of people got angry about that. We could talk about that in a minute. But when all is said and done, is this something that's going to make anybody drink more or less Pepsi?
I don't think so. I mean, I think you get a net. I think you get a net zero on it. I think the problem is that when you spend a couple of million dollars, you don't want a net zero. You know what? I mean, I think it hurts poor Kendall, and it wasn't really her fault. I think she's a young girl who doesn't think about her actual cultural relevance in the world or what her platform she's actually been given or how, you know, she has a couple of, like, hip-hop artist friends, so she thinks she's been given a pass to speak for the culture, which is not necessarily true. Just because you hang out with Tiger, just because you know him, does not mean you are from the neighborhood he's from, endured what he's endured, and been able to speak to a community that he speaks for.
Now, times are different now for, I guess, marketers and advertisers. Once upon a time, you put your advertisement out there, and you had ways via surveys to measure how people reacted. Now the people you're marketing to get to talk back and respond publicly, and the response sometimes can dwarf the initial ad itself. How does that change what advertisers and marketers do?
I think it's about that time for people to start hiring the folks that they're trying to market to. Right. I mean, I think we spend a lot of time doing focus groups, but we don't spend a lot of time actually just hiring people from those target markets and those demographics. And I mean, I spoke at a conference called the 3% Conference, and 3% was, when they started that conference, it was the number of women in leadership in advertising, which is a shockingly low number when 50% of the world's population is women. Right. And I think that number is finally up to like 6% or something like that, which is still too low. Advertisers have to stop thinking about it as an advertising pitch and really say we need to diversify across gender, ethnicity, physical ability, sexual identification, all those sorts of things, so that we can have an authentic and genuine way to speak to our demographics. You shouldn't have to have a series of market research studies. You should be able to ask someone in the office, hey, are you able to not only speak to this market, but are you able to gather and communicate and bring a series of people together so that we can have an authentic dialogue on what we're trying to say here?
Before we wrap up, I want to get into a lot of what we're looking at is sort of millennial generation oriented, but baby boomers have seen a lot of this, the Beatles revolution and what was it, a Nike ad. And a big thing, the Janis Joplin song, Mercedes-Benz, eventually used years later in a Mercedes-Benz commercial. Looking back, we've seen a lot of this before.
I mean, at the end of the day, you're going to have cultural hotspots. You're going to have someone who can see that there is something that's culturally relevant going on, and they're going to push a narrative that's going to become very hot. You're going to have people who are behind them trying to copy that, but not understanding the tiny little idiosyncrasies that come with respecting a culture, celebrating a culture while moving a product. Everyone that falls behind is in danger of crossing that line. And I think that's what you saw here. You saw people talking about protests. You saw people talking about social movements. And then with, like, the Janis Joplin, you see people talking about America because they were trying to be a hard juxtaposition against being, like, German. But there was no real understanding of what that meant to American, right? Like, not like the Ram commercials, which are considerably more successful.
We'll leave it there for now. Thanks to Eric Thomas, senior partner at Saga Marketing. He writes about marketing, branding, and diversity.